All right, let's pray. Let's go ahead and ask God to bless this word and just anoint Brian. So, Father, we want to thank you right now. We thank you so much for the word that you have given Brian, Lord God. We pray that you would anoint him, Lord God, right now to proclaim your word, Lord God, with confidence and boldness and under your anointing, Lord God. Just bless this word, bless Brian, and also pour out your blessing upon this body and all those who are watching. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Well, who's excited to be here this morning? I know I am. I know Esther is. Well, Esther's fired up. Amen. Funny thing happened. I have to tell you the story. So it's Wednesday night. I go to the Bible study, and it's 8:30, you know, after fellowshipping. I'm walking down the steps. I'm on my way out the door, JT, and Ray Silva stops me. He says, man, check this text out that I got from Eddie. I said, what is it? He says, hey, brother, I'm not going to be able to preach this Sunday. You think you could do it for me? And Ray goes, man, he goes, I am so swamped at work. I got all these shows. I got all these shows going on. There's no way I can do it. And I says, you know what? You're right. You're right. That's too soon to notice, Ray. I said, I'll tell you what. Your PD should do it. You ain't got nothing better going on. Let Pastor Don do it. So, you know, I get in my car. I'm cruising home. And Fred, you know, I got about a 25-minute ride. I pull in my driveway. I grab my phone because I had it on silent during a meeting. I get the same text from Eddie. Hey, brother, can you make it? I'm not going to be able to preach. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nope. No, no way, that's too short a notice. And before I walked in the door, the Holy Spirit hit me and says, you know, work's real slow right now. I think you got more than enough time to preach on Sunday. And I was like, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But you know what? It's just like a backup quarterback in a football game. You know, he sits there on the sidelines looking all handsome. He doesn't even have a helmet on. His hair looks good, like JT there. You know, he's got the clipboard, you know. And all of a sudden, though, if that starting quarterback goes down, uh-oh, guess what? It's on you. You better be ready, right? And the Bible says we need to be prepared in and out of season, amen? You don't know when God's going to use you, when he's going to call you. Are we going to answer the bell? You know, speaking of quarterbacks, got a buddy of mine. He's playing in a little game tonight called the Super Bowl. His name's Tom. And if we could just lift him up, you know, yeah, get that seventh ring. Because, you know, as Pastor Don says, seven means completion in the Bible. but all kidding aside, you know, the Bible says God will reward those who diligently seek him. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about how we will receive crowns on our heads. Might even give us a ring. Can you imagine what that ring would look like? I'm going to tell you, it'd be infinitely better than any stinking Super Bowl ring. Amen? Well, after giving deep thought and much prayer about what I was going to title my message, I went and got confirmation from my grandson. I says, what do you think of this title, Jaden? And he's the only one that knows it. I says, with great power comes great responsibility. Well, if you know Spider-Man, he's a big Spider-Man fan, my grandson. But we're going to relate that to the spiritual today. God's given us great power, amen? And that's what we're going to talk about today. But I'm going to talk about God's great power and how we can walk confidently in this crazy world that's going on right now, knowing two things. Number one, God is with us. And my Bible says, if God be with us, who can stand against us? Right? We got to remember that. I don't care who's in charge, who's president, who's this, who's that. You know, Jesus still sits on the throne. Hello? And number two, that great power that he's given us, also known as the Holy Spirit, the blessed third person of the Trinity, he lives inside each and every one of us believers. And you know, we have unlimited access to that power. You know, when I was a kid, we had three channels, and my dad would make me change the channel. Get up, change the channel. 247. If you're lucky, if channel 50 came in. And that's all we had. We didn't have that access. Now, I'm not joking when I say I've got 10,000 movies on demand, and I still can't find anything. You know? But we have access to that power. But we need to tap into God's power. We need to tap into that Holy Spirit. We sing a song here. It's by my favorite singer, Jeremy Camp. It's called The Same Power. And by the way, Pastor John, you do a really good job on that. I appreciate that. You even get your voice down a little deeper. I like that. The same power. You know, it's good. It's really good. I enjoy that. But the main theme of that song, if you don't know it, is this. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. And that song was inspired by the Apostle Paul's prayer in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of his glory in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Now think about that for a minute. It's kind of hard to fathom. God giving us access to that same power that he rose Christ from the dead, Christ doing all the miracles, this and that. It's incredible. Well, I ain't seen a miracle. Really? I've seen tons. How about salvation? Is salvation not a miracle? Did you see somebody give their heart to the Lord? Is that not a miracle? They can only, you know, people can only be saved as the Holy Spirit draws them to God. It's not what we say or what we do or beating them over the head. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know about you guys. Maybe it's because I'm a guy. But I like power. You know, more power, more better. You know, Tim Allen? Some of you old people, you know what I'm talking about. A little over 5 years ago, my wife had a dream since she was a little girl to get this certain car. Her dad promised her but wasn't able to fulfill it. And about 5 years ago, I was able to actually, with God's help, bless her with that car. So we go out to get the car, and I love this story. And, you know, the salesman says, okay, here's the car. Okay, take it down this country road. You can do about 45, 50. Take it down a couple miles and bring it back. Okay. I said, I can do that. So we're getting it. I'm babying it out of the parking lot, like first gear. You know. As soon as I look, there's nobody on this road. And I let it rip. I mean, I just pedal to the metal. I floor this thing, Art. And it was just sideways. And it was like, whoa. That power literally snapped Christy's neck back. So much so that she's screaming at me, slow down, slow down. It just was an incredible amount of power. And I finally pull over after about a mile. I says, here, you drive. And she's visibly shaking. She goes, I ain't driving it. I ain't driving it. And I go, well, it's your dream car. If you want it, you need to drive it. So she drove it back to the dealer properly. But I figured if it was going to break down on the test drive, right, Anthony? Well, you know, you're probably thinking, well, that sounds all nice, preacher, you know, but, well, what the heck does this got to do with the spiritual things? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, just like God's power, like my wife's car, God gives us this incredible amount of power, but unless we step out in faith, and step on that gas pedal, we ain't going nowhere, church. Nowhere in our lives if we just sit there all comfortable in our four little walls and we praise God on Sunday. That's wonderful. That's great. But there's the real battle out there. There's where we need to put the pedal to the metal. Does anybody know what a governor is on a car? Oh, man. I drove a car one time, it had a governor. Yeah, you know. And I'm trying to punch this thing. I'm trying to get it up to speed, and it's a dog, and it would only let me go like 50 miles an hour. That's it. They probably knew who was driving it, you know. And so it's just cruising along, you know. Oh, no worries, no cares. It's babying it. You know, it never unleashes its power. Well, how many Christians do you know in their lives never unleash that power in the same way? Hey, I'm just cruising along. Life's fine. Oh, God is good. My stocks are up. Everything's doing wonderful. It's nice and safe here in the slow lane. Bless God. I'll just sit here and wait for Jesus to return. Hallelujah. Well, I don't mean to offend anyone. I've had that attitude at times. Of course, we all have. But may I submit to you that driving slow on that freeway and, you know, same in life, just it's harmful. You know, I get on the freeway and it's 70, 75 miles an hour and the guy in front of me going to merge is doing 35 and I'm like, are you kidding me? We're going to get killed because you're going so slow. It's dangerous. You know, how much more so when we cruise through our lives, we have our own agenda. Hey, we're going to the gym. Hey, we're doing this. Hey, we're working. We're blah, blah, blah. And we get so busy with our own lives that we don't care about others. I'm not saying going to the gym is not a good thing. It is a good thing. You know, I'm not saying don't take care of your families. Of course. But I found in my life, especially as I've gotten older, God will make the time for the spiritual things. And guess what? You'll find out if you seek Him first, right? Like it says, seek me first. All these other things will be given unto you. You'll have the time to do the things you want, to go on vacation, to, you know, take that trip, do whatever. But if you do it out of order, and you don't seek God first, you don't put Him first in your life, where Jesus said, love the Lord your God, was the first commandment, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seek Him first. Watch what happens. We're going to share a story in the New Testament about a man like that. He put his life on cruise control. Let's take a peek and see what happened to this guy. Luke 12, 16 through 21. We got Jesus talking here, so I think we should listen. It says, and he, Jesus, told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I got no place to store my crops. Oh, I tell you what, I'm just going to build bigger barns. I'll tear down the old ones, build bigger ones, and I'll be able to store all the surplus grain. And then I'll say to myself, you got plenty of grain, your stocks are up, you know, you're multimillionaire. Lay it up for many years. Take life easy. Relax, chill out. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. You see, this man is an example of how God had blessed someone tremendously, and he was given power through his wealth to bless others and maybe change his little part of the world. You know, maybe you say, you heard the saying, you can't change the world, but you could change your part of the world. If we all did our little part, guess what? The world would change. Amen? But instead of blessing others and he hoards it up, he becomes lazy, he sits down, he goes, that's it, I'm done. Done enough. Church, have you ever had that mindset, I've done enough? If we're honest with one another, I think we have. I have. But you know, thank God Jesus didn't have that mindset on the way to the cross. As Pastor Don was talking about on Wednesday, carrying that beam on his back down the Via Della Rosa, which is the road that leads to the cross. And I can't help but think when he was talking about that, my mind had the flashback of the movie The Passion of the Christ when they show Jesus walking down that road and just how horrific that was for him. You know, Jesus could have called it quits at any time. Remember when he told his disciples in Matthew 26:53? He says, "Do you not think that I can't call out my Father, and at once he'll put 12 legions of angels at my disposal? 12,000 with the snap of a finger." He had the power. Yeah, he was all man, but he was all God. He had that power. But it took more power for Jesus to say no to his will and yes to the Father's will. Are we willing to say yes to God's will and put our lives down, to lay our lives aside? Say, "Lord, you know what? Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I want what you want, God. I want to truly follow you the best I can, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to screw up. Yeah, I make mistakes." And the Lord's going to say, "You know what? A righteous man may fall 7 times a day, but he gets up each and every time." We ain't perfect, Christians. We're far from it. But we serve a perfect God. Amen? You know, here's another thing I was thinking we need God's power for. It takes a lot of power to stay silent when someone hurls insults at you. Man, if you know me, I can have a little bit of a temper, just a little bit. And it's hard to restrain that temper in your own natural ability. Many times I can't do it on my own. But through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we can, through His power. Luke 6:27-29 says this. Jesus says this. "But to those of you who are listening," I say, wait, what did he say? "To those of you who are listening." See, not everybody's going to listen. "To those of you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also." Takes a whole lot of power to do that. But God has given us that power through the Holy Spirit. I had a situation at work happen just Friday. Had a lady, and I never trusted her. She was Muslim. She stabbed me in the back before. When she got booted out of the building, I was like, "Well, thank God she's gone." You know? Right? Bless God, she's out of here. I know, that's my flesh. And I'm just being real. And so she comes back, and then I find out she's on a medical. And actually, we had gotten along after our incident. We got along well because we all talked about sports, and she loved Michigan. Well, who doesn't? I mean, you know. Get that man out of here. So she comes back to get her stuff, and her arm is shaking like this. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, "Well, you know, I got Parkinson's. I might have to be going to disability." And I'm thinking of Michael J. Fox. And I'm like, "Oh, man." And I felt bad. So that happened like last Friday. Well, this Friday, I was just thinking about her. And I had her number because she used to text me for stuff she needed in her room. So I was like, I'm going to step out of the boat a little bit. I feel like God wants me to text her the scripture, you know. And it was from the Old Testament, just a little surface. So I text it to her, and all of a sudden, she writes back. She goes, "Wow, that made me cry. Thank you so much. That really blessed my heart. Because I sent her the Word of God. I didn't send her what Brian wanted to say. I just said, I'll continue to pray for you." Now, I don't know where that may lead. I hope she gets saved one day, you know. But we got to be obedient, even with those we think are enemies. She's not my enemy. It's the enemy behind her, pushing her, you know, or different people. Now I've grown to love her. Crazy. Got an atheist friend at work. He's constantly hurling insults about God, Christianity. And, you know, he takes pot shots at me too. But guess what? You know, he ain't knocking me. He's knocking Christ in me. And I think Jesus can handle it, right? Jesus said this, 5:11-12, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, I'm at a point in my life where I don't care what people think about me. Now, let me explain. I do care what they think about my character. Can I trust him? Can I confide in him? You know, has he been honest with me? You know, has he got a good work ethic? Yada, yada, yada. But as far as Christ in me, I don't care what they think if I'm some nut job, some wacko. You know, I've been mocked at the gym. I don't care. You know? I got Big Steve. I wish he was here today. He's at the gym. He'll protect me, right? You know, as hard as it is, I'm not going to trade insults with you. I'm going to pray for you, because that's what the Bible says to do. And that's hard, church. We get so mad. I get so mad. I can't believe he said that. You know? In my own strength, I can't do it. I was talking to Dan Abraham the other day, and I said, man, guess who came to visit? The old Brian. And I can't stand that guy. He's a jerk. You know? You ever look in the mirror and go, what? You know, I can't stand to be around myself. That's our flesh. It's rising up. It's fighting. It's battling with me. But with the Holy Spirit, Philippians 4:13, we all know it. I can do what? All things. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Question. Have you ever felt led by the Holy Spirit to pray for someone? Yeah. A little scary, right? Especially if you don't know them that well or just good. Okay. Have you ever been turned down? Okay. In my experience, 99% of the people that I've prayed for, or God has led me to pray for, have not turned me down. There's always that one percenter. You know? Don't let that one percenter bother you. But I got to share this story, because it's a crazy story, and about a one percenter. You see, I was on my way to Oakwood Hospital. I went to see my mom on the fifth floor. And I'm up there visiting her. And she's, I said, man, I got to use the bathroom. Well, they don't want you to use the patient bathroom. I'm like, well, why not? So, okay, I won't. So I asked the nurse, I said, excuse me, where's the bathroom? I'm like thinking it's right down the hall. She says, yeah, walk 300 feet this way, go 500 feet this way. And it's, I'm like, what the? I had to walk to the other wing. Hillary, I'm not kidding you. I had to walk to the other wing of the hospital. I'm like, by this time, I'm mad. Eddie, I'm mad. As I'm walking, all of a sudden, I see this guy I used to work with in the hall. Uh-oh. What's this? What's going on here? He says, hey. I said, hey, what's going on, Jim? Oh, my wife's in here. She's got a bad disease, this and that, and it doesn't look good. I said, oh, man. But then he starts telling me, yeah, she's got the best doctor. He flew in from Virginia, the best nurse, the best anesthesiologist, the best whatever. So he's all excited. He's thinking, wow, this is good news. You know, got all the good things going. And I said, well, Jim, that sounds great. I says, I'll tell you what, I don't think this was a coincidence. Right, Bob? A coincidence? God incidence? I don't think this was a coincidence that I'm here. So how about I go pray for it? You know, I'll never forget these words. Carol, I'll never forget. He looked at me and goes, I don't want to jinx her. And he was supposedly, he'd go to church once in a while. He wasn't like an atheist. He goes, yeah, I don't want to jinx her. So it's kind of like getting a hit in the face, you know, Pastor John? And I'm like, okay. So after some small talk later, I said, I got to go back to my mom. It just really stuck in my head. At what he said, all of a sudden, 3 months later, there's an email that comes out at work. Such and such wife has passed away. And I couldn't think back. I couldn't help but think back to, like, man, he's refusing prayer. You know, it was just crazy. I don't know. I'm not saying my prayer would have healed her. We don't know how God's going to move. Maybe it would have. Maybe it didn't. But I just kept thinking of that. It's bothering me. All right, I got to lighten up the mood a little bit. Getting all serious, I got to. So I got a little joke, Okay, because some people, they're going to refuse prayer. I mean, I'm not a stand-up comic, Pastor Don knows, but here it goes, my best attempt at a joke. So there's a British man, a Jamaica man, and a redneck in a bar. And they all got something physically wrong with them. So Jesus walks into the bar, and he sees the British man. He says, "What's going on?" He goes, "Oh, I got my arm broke, you know." And Jesus says, "Well, you want me to pray for you?" He says, "Yeah." Jesus prayed for him. He got healed. Bam! Then he walks over to the Jamaica man. Says to the Jamaica man, "I see your legs, you know, all mangled up here." He goes, "Yeah, man. Yeah, you know, I got this thing going on, man. I need, you know, and thank you, Fred." So he goes, we went out to Jamaica on a mission trip. I picked up the accent a little bit. So Jesus comes over, prays for the guy. Bam, he gets healed. After that, Jesus took one step towards the redneck. The redneck jumped up and said, "Now don't you touch me, Jesus. I'm collecting a disability pension." I hope those are more than courtesy laughs. Hey, some people are so stubborn and ornery, they'll refuse prayer. But you know what? We're just there to offer. We're there to be obedient. We're not there to force a prayer on them. Hey, if they don't want it, you know, just like in the church, you don't want to get saved, you don't have to. I don't like the alternative if you don't, to be honest. You know, Jesus didn't save us from, he did save us from our own selves, but he saved us from hell. Amen? Being blunt here. But you know, God's given us the power to overcome that fear if we walk out in faith. You know, he gives us the power to be sold out for him. But how often do we say, you know, I just want to sit here in front of my big screen, relax, take it easy, sip on a soda. The flesh is going to battle us every minute of every day. I'll share with you what happened last Sunday. Okay? So Sunday morning I woke up. I've been having this issue with ringing in my ears, and it was really bad at one point where I put myself on the prayer list, and I thank God for you people that pray for me because it's 100 times better. I woke up Sunday morning. My father-in-law texted. He lives in Melvindale. We live way out. He says, it's a lot of snow here. Okay, check. My ears are ringing. Check. You know, thinking, I'm battling in my mind. You know, we can just... Hey, we're live stream. We can just, Christy, we can sit home in our pajamas. We'll watch Pastor John. This is great, you know? And then all of a sudden, a little voice in my head goes, well, you're supposed to open in prayer. Well, I can get ready for that. Ray's there every Sunday. Well, you're supposed to usher. Well, Nino's there every Sunday. Nino could do that. You know, I'm battling. And my wife says to me, she goes, what's it going to be? And I just felt this war going on inside of me. And before I answered, I heard her turn the shower on, and then when the shower hit, it clicked in my head. I said, no, we're going. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I had permission from Jamie. But as we're here and we're in the middle of worship, Linda Dupuy comes up to Pastor John. This is the middle of worship. Now, this don't happen that often. Says, can we pray for this young man back here? So right away, I'm up in the balcony. I'm like, bloop! I run down the stairs. A bunch of us prayed for him. You know, he started crying. I didn't know what was going on with him. I just know he needed prayer. And then after the service, because he used to be in our youth group, I recognize him as Nathan, who had come to our youth group when he was a little younger. So after the service, he comes up with his mom, Jamie, and he says, hey, I was wondering if you'd be my counselor. And I'm like, counselor? You know, I'm like, I didn't know what he's, you know, was talking about. And he says, yeah. He goes, I'm riddled with cancer all throughout, you know, here. And I was just like, my gosh. You You know, and the Lord started to, you know, prompt me to tell him my story, how I was younger and I was sick, and I was there to encourage him. And Jamie said, "Will you anoint him with oil? Because the Bible says the elders of the church should anoint him with oil." I said, "Absolutely." And I've been in contact with Nathan throughout the week and trying to encourage him, trying to give him hope, you know, to let him know that God's still there. And I hope you all would join me to pray, continue to pray for Nathan. But when I got home that Sunday, then it was time to sit in my lazy chair. I'm not going to say, I get in that lazy boy. Yeah, I love it. It was time, okay. But I started thinking, I said, man, what if I hadn't have been there? You know? Ken, what if I hadn't have been there? I'd have missed out. You know? And then I wouldn't have had that relationship to call him during the week because we wouldn't have crossed paths. Yeah, his name's Nathan, and he's struggling, stage four, correct? Mom's here. He's not here today. I know he's not doing well, but you know what? Let's pray for him. And you at home, please pray for him too. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we lift up Nathan. We speak healing over his body, Lord God. Lord, we pray you touch him, Lord, and we be cancer-free, and he be a testimony not only to this church, Lord God, but to the world. Father, we just give him to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'll finish up here. I'm a couple more minutes. And Ken Brown taught class last week, and man, he always does a great job, doesn't he, Dan? Ed? So he was teaching last week about finishing the race, Kenny. And he got this quote, and this guy wasn't even a Christian that did the quote. And I says, oh, you got to send me that quote. So I texted him the other day. And this is what it says. He texted me back. He says, from this guy, "Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, 'Wow, what a ride.'" And I know that's this guy, you know, not a Christian, that said, well, how much more so in the spiritual? You know, you see those guys, they race, they might do the mile or whatever, but those last 100 yards, they're at a full-out sprint. Bam! Just giving it all they got. Don't we want to be like that for Christ? Don't we want to finish strong? You know, God's got work to do for each and every one of us, and I spent 15 years of my life wasting the talent God gave me because I kept putting them on the back burner. You only got so many minutes, you know. Church, there's work to do. Jesus said this in Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. I was watching an old video. Ed, you'll appreciate this. Craig Fosler on YouTube. Great evangelist, friend of ours that we love dearly. And this one stuck out to me, Sammy. He says, you know, 95% of Christians will never share their faith. I'm like, 95%? I can't imagine that in this church. Matter of fact, I know it's not 95% that won't. It's maybe 5%. But still, 95%. And we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. Has anybody ever had too much God in their lives? You know, it's funny, Pastor Don. Sometimes I feel like God's like, okay, some days I don't feel God's presence at all. I'm in the flesh or whatever, and it's just you go through the motions. But there's those times, like what happened with that Muslim lady. I had like 3 or 4 conversations with people about the Lord that day. Full blown, like, oh my gosh. Then you get a little scared. I'm like, hey, Lord, you know, this, you know, I don't want to screw this up. But can you ever have too much of the Holy Spirit, too much of God's power? I wish I had more. I really feel like I haven't even scratched the surface with my relationship with God. that I'm farther than I was 30 years ago? I believe so. I hope so. Amen. You know, God has a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got things lined up for you to do. Good works, it says. You know, and a good work might just be making a phone call. Hey, I was thinking about you. It comes into your head. Yeah, you need to call. Say, well, I'm not calling them. Maybe it's God. Maybe they're sitting at home right now, and I know some people have to stay home because of health and they're concerned with COVID. And I respect that. God bless you guys. We miss you. We love you. Every one of you is at home. But you know, maybe they feel disconnected. You know, if God puts them on your heart, you know, shoot a text, give them a phone call, or like Pastor John, send an email. Okay. We're going to try this again. Every time I have a song, it doesn't work, Rachel, I'm telling you. So God bless Dan Abraham. He helped me download this song. And then last night it said it wasn't available. And I want to play this song. First of all, my sister-in-law, I put her on the prayer list. She's got to have a double lung transplant. And first Henry Ford said no. Cleveland Clinic said, yeah, I think we can do it. So we keep praying for her. Hi, Debbie. And she's a Tennessee gal, and it just so happens that this song is by another Tennessee gal, Dolly Parton. But it's by Dolly Parton. It's with Zach Williams, one of my favorite singers. So God willing, Gloria, we're going to play this song, and I hope it blesses you guys.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be, couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the way, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. So I thank God every day. Well, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the way, in the searching, in the healing of my heart, like a blessing buried in broken pieces. Shadows of the alleys.
There was Jesus
in the fire, in the flames.
There was Jesus,
always is and always was. No, I never walked alone. In the healing of my heart,
I hope that blessed you like it blessed me. Besides the ringing in the ears, that song was going through my head all week. I have the prayer team come forward, please. Maybe you're here today and you need more of God in your life. You need more of His Holy Spirit. You need more of His presence. Maybe you're tired like I was of trying on my own. Maybe you need healing. Perhaps you've never given your heart to the Lord. I urge you, come down for prayer. We're here. It's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Well, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this day. We thank You for those tuning in, Lord God. We thank You for every person here, Father. Lord, we ask Your blessing upon each and every person. And Lord, give us more of Your Spirit, Lord. Not for our own gain, but to do Your will. We need Your Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, through each and every day. Give us more of those divine appointments and coincidences, Lord. And we give You all the praise and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.